Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
A year from today, what would your dream private practice look like? Would you spend less time chasing claims or only working with clients who value your skill set? What if you had more time for yourself? Alma empowers you to confidently accept insurance, backed by an all-in-one EHR that simplifies scheduling, documentation, and day-to-day practice operations. Your dream practice is closer than you think. Learn more about Alma at helloalma.com/get-started.
Getting everyone together to watch the game is fun until you realize you're running low on snacks right before halftime. That's why Shipt is there for you on game day. Whether going for that classic spread, chips and dip, or mixing in even a few healthier options, I can, and so can you, order all the favorites for same-day delivery to keep the party going, especially now that March is here. And if that Shipt bowl is looking suddenly too empty, no stress, just place another order and it shows up the same day. Shipt makes last-minute hosting so much easier. You can get snacks, party supplies, decorations, and more delivered from nearby stores. I'm talking grocery runs from places like Safeway or Albertsons, party decor from Michaels, or even a quick Target order. All while you're getting ready for guests with Shipt, you can order same-day delivery on groceries, gifts, and so much more. And shoppers are known for incredible attention to detail and care. Plus, with an annual Shipt membership, you get unlimited orders, zero delivery fees on orders over $35, exclusive deals, and even the option to request your favorite shoppers again. Download the app or order at Shipt.com. That's Shipt.com.
What we did, we're having a party, by the way. If you're in Boston on Tuesday, we're having a party at Cisco Brewers. Cisco Brewers from 6 to 8. The Best Shape of My Life Club people are all going to be there showing off what they did. I'm so inspired by everybody. I'm so happy that we did it. It changed a lot of lives, and now we get a chance to have a party. And it's not just a party for that. It's a party to celebrate the great game of baseball as we storm into the season. Rich Hill, by the way, is going to be there. It may or may not be his retirement party as well. I don't know. But anyway, no matter where you are, no matter where you're listening, we want you to celebrate. Baseball isn't boring. You can do that. BB isn't boring. BBisn'tboring.com. BBisn'tboring.com to go get your merch. We got more on the way. But in the meantime, go take a look at what we have right now. I think you're going to like it. I think it's going to give you a chance to walk to the park, walk to a park, walk down the street, and everyone will say, oh, that's interesting. Yes, baseball is indeed not boring. And we had examples of that across the board. We have examples of this on the podcast. Today's podcast, the centerpiece, is Dick Scott is back. Dick Scott, in case you don't know him, he's a AAA manager for the Syracuse Mets. He's one of our go-tos when it comes to knowing what's what in the minor leagues and getting players from AAA to the major leagues. There's nobody better in explaining it. There's nobody better in doing it. Dickie Scott has had some great success stories throughout his career, and he has a couple great success stories going on right now. And really, I wanted to know a few different things from Dickie about just his lot in life as AAA manager when you enter into the frigid ways of the early season, when you have guys who have never ever played baseball in temperatures of 30 degrees or something like that. But more importantly, what's it like? How do you know when a guy is ready? And we have a couple good examples from Dickie's point of view, and that's, of course, Mets rookies. It's Nolan McLean and Carson Bench. So we talked to Dickie about all that stuff, about how he knew that Benj and McClain were ready, and he's given honest, precise, intriguing, outstanding answer when asked about both guys. And then he obviously talks about guys he has right now who might be the next Benj or McClain. But, hey, before we get to Dickie, I want to give you what's what when it comes to that first series that we went through with Major League Baseball. Now we have five undefeated teams: Blue Jays, Yankees, Marlins, Brewers, Dodgers. We have five teams that science would suggest have not won a game. Those are White Sox, A's, Diamondbacks, Rockies, and Giants. All right. And in case you don't know, I want to get this out there before I forget. Per MLB Network ABS Challenge, which was all the rage, there's a lot of ABS drama. You could go check out our Baseball's and Boring on the Radio, where we spent an hour doing the time about the ABS chaos. All right, batters were 26 for 57. Catchers were better, 40 for 63. Pitchers, if you're a pitcher, don't challenge. 1 for 4. All right, but let's go back. So like we said, we had five undefeated, five teams that didn't win. I look back at this year, this time last year, where you had four teams who were undefeated. Those teams were Yankees, Dodgers, Padres, Cardinals. Now, remember, Yankees, Dodgers, okay. Padres, Cardinals, didn't have a great year. And four teams that hadn't won a game. Now, this should give hope to everybody. Two of these teams made the playoffs: Brewers, Tigers. And then there were the Twins and the Braves. All right, so just to give you some perspective. Also, was there any trends? Did baseball change at all? Maybe a little bit. Maybe. Plate appearances per walk last year, 10.90. This year, 9.70. At bats per home run, well, they're hitting fewer home runs this year. Last year was just over 26. This year is just over 30. So they hit more home runs last year. Stolen base percentage, a little bit better this year. All right, I'm trying to give you guys some science, some facts. I guess we're going to need some more time to really get definitive answers. The walks are going to keep, I think, are going to be interesting with the ABS stuff. All right, who did well? Well, you had, here are the league leaders. Yandy Diaz leads with 9 hits. In case you don't know, Chase DeLauder, he has 4 home runs. He leads everybody a home run. 4 home runs already. Mike Trout leads everybody with 7 walks. Cal Raleigh and Kyle Manzardo, they are tied for the most strikeouts, 10 strikeouts. And David Hamilton of the Milwaukee Brewers, he has 3 stolen bases. He leads everybody with 3. 3 pitchers went 7 innings in their first start: Trevor Rogers, and 2 Marlins, Yuri Perez and Sandy Alcantara. Then you have strikeouts. Dylan Cease struck out the most, 12 strikeouts. Right behind him, his teammate Kevin Gausman, 11 strikeouts, which made me look up how many strikeouts the Blue Jays had. Sure enough, they led the entire major leagues in strikeouts with 50. But get this. Conversely, the Diamondbacks, they only had 15. Blue Jays, 50. The Diamondback pitchers only had 15 strikeouts. And of course, they were going up against the Dodgers. So that's something to keep an eye on when it comes to the Dodgers, how good they are and how they are built. I mean, the Dodgers only struck out 15 times. Batting average for teams: Rays led the way, 339. Giants, well, I'll just save the Giants. So batting average, Rays led everybody, 339. Home runs, Angels led everybody with 9. OPS, Brewers led everyone with 972. Now, all the three categories, the Giants were last. The Giants had a 143 batting average. They didn't have a single home run. Their OPS was 388. Not good. Not good. All right, well, I just want to give you a taste of what happened to make you more educated, because we're here to educate, offer insight, offer entertainment, all of it. And I think we do it all in this podcast, in large part to thanks to this conversation with Dickie Scott. All right, Carson Bench is, I guess, off to a little bit of a slow start. He has one hit, but that hit was a home run. Nolan McClain, his first start, pretty good. Five innings, two runs, eight strikeouts. The Mets start the season at 2-1. But not only are you going to get these early season results, you know, that you have, whether from maybe from McClain from last year, WBC, and then this year, Ben from what he did in the minors, and then now what he's doing in the majors and spring training, but more about how the Mets and how the coaching staff and how the front office of the Mets are viewing these guys and why they think they're ready to do what they think they can do. And Dickie Scott makes a perfect, perfect, perfect picture when it comes to why and how and what to expect with all these guys, with both these guys, Benj and McClain. It's really insightful. It's really good. I think you're going to enjoy it. At BB isn't boring. At BB isn't boring. A lot going on. Appreciate everybody. Keep on going, man. Brand's never hotter. All right, here's our good friend, Dick Scott.
There's no human being on the planet I'd rather be talking to more than Dick Scott.
Okay. You say that to all the guys?
No. Well, I do, but I mean it now because every time I see your team, you, everything, because I know that I'm going to have a good conversation. I know that, you know, you're a good human being.
Appreciate
you know, you're a good manager, good scout, everything, but also have a great perspective on a lot of stuff. So, first of all, thank you above everything for letting me do this inside.
Oh, it's cold out there today.
I just asked Joe Natongas, Canadian guy, coldest game, you know, coldest game that you ever went in. Now, his is just sort of a baseline, just every game was cold.
Right.
You're playing it. But you're from Maine.
I am.
What was the coldest game you ever played in?
Well, actually, you know, my high school games, I definitely remember snow happening, but the coldest game I can remember, there's actually two. One was in Beloit, Wisconsin when I was managing
it. Really?
Oh, my God. It was freezing cold. No heaters. We had like a pillbox dugout that was all concrete that could have been a refrigerator. Just the wind coming off the lake. It was
really?
Awful.
Really?
Yeah, it was awful.
And this is like coming from Maine. This is...
Yeah, no. Well, yeah. You're coming from spring training mostly.
Yeah,
you're probably open in Beloit.
Yeah.
I was managing the Madison Muskies back in the day for the Oakland A's. They're not even around anymore.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was cold. And another day was really weird in Memphis when I was managing for Huntsville.
Really?
Which was Double A of the A's at the time.
Yeah.
The Huntsville Stars. We went to Memphis, and they were in Double A. And, oh, brutally, just one of those brutal cold. We wouldn't have thought it in Memphis, but, man, it was just so cold.
So...
But, It could be anywhere really in the Northeast this time of year. Still March.
So it leads me to like one of the dynamics is I think spring training's weird because the times are completely flipped, right, from what you're used to. What time do you get to the park? Like 7 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah, earlier than that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have meetings probably that start at 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Yeah. So it's everything's flipped, but then also obviously the weather, which is and there's no way around it. And you have to play in some cold places. But for a manager of a team, and you're telling these guys, like, okay, we got to play baseball. I don't care how cold it is. I don't care where you came from. Like, how does that... some guys... I remember you saying this, and not that I'm being long-winded, but I remember you said the other... when we talked a year or so ago about Acuna.
Right.
About how he got off to a slow start because he never played in the cold.
He just always had been in places that were warm and... it's tough. You know, it's tough for everybody. And the other part, just going to spring training in Florida. Like, we left, it was 85 degrees down there. And now we're coming in, it's in the 30s. I mean, that's a big dip, and you have to do it. But, you know, I feel for some guys, you could actually be a player in the minor leagues that does not play in cold weather for a couple of years, depending on where your affiliate is. You could be in the Texas League.
Mm-hmm.
You could be in the Florida State League before you get here. So it's tough. And a day like today's going to be especially cold. You know, it feels like it's supposed to be in the mid-20s.
Yeah.
You know, as a hitter, you're just trying to survive. I think the pitcher has a definite advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it is what it is. There's no way around it.
You just go, do you walk into the room and say, guys, it is what it is?
You know, I used to say, like, hey, look, I don't want to hear about the cold. I know it's cold.
Yeah.
But then you know, realistically, it's like, yeah, it's freaking cold out here, and I'm coaching third shivering, and so I just let the guys, you know, you do whatever. Like, we just had somebody out there today in a cutoff sweatshirt and shorts.
Yeah,
and it's like 32 degrees.
Was that like, I thought it was Melendez.
It was Melendez, MJ Melendez.
Yeah, coming from Team Puerto Rico.
Yeah, he just like, hey, if I can get through with this, it won't be as bad in the game. I'm like, all right, you do you.
All right, well. Again, once again, doing an excellent job of guiding young men. So if I can talk about some guys who, I was just talking to Jonah Tong about watching the guy succeed at the major league level. You've had plenty of examples of this. So when you watch that opening day, when you watch, or you watch McClain in the WBC, whatever, take me through like what you're thinking, what that's like for you.
Well, you know, I'm always, first and foremost, happy for the players whenever they get those opportunities. It's like when you first start into coaching, I think you feel like you want to climb as well. It's just a natural thing, because as a player, you want to go from A ball to Double A to Triple A to the big leagues. Then when you start managing, it doesn't happen as quickly, because you might repeat a place two or three times. I can tell you right now, it goes a lot faster than it used to. You don't have to put your time in necessarily. You know, you talk to guys my age, like, oh, yeah, it was 20 years before I got a big league job. Or, you know, for me, it took me almost 12 years before I became, like, a farm director. So I think it does go a little quicker now. But to see those guys in the major leagues, it's rewarding. I think that's where I was going with this, is where it's gone from worrying about what I was going to do to really just being here to try to help people as much as I can. I get a lot of satisfaction out of that, whether it's young coaches or players, and I think a lot of it's not always the X's and O's. It's just the perspective. It's just, you know, we had a great sports psychologist named Harvey Dorfman, and I was lucky to get into Oakland's organization when he was there, and he always used to say that we all have trouble seeing the picture when we're inside the frame, you know, and it's so true. It's just that has stuck with me. And a lot of these guys just, they can't see the photo because they're inside the frame.
That's great.
And it is.
Yeah.
And so just try to give them perspective and where they're at. They always think they're way further away than they actually are. And that gives me a lot of satisfaction.
It's funny you say that. I'm thinking, I'm like, when I'm 46 straight days of spring training, I'm in the pitcher. Like, I get outside, I'm like, man, I was there for a long
time. Yeah. You forget about everything. You don't even know what day it is.
No. Carson Vench, when he hits, that's one of the guys, right?
Yeah.
If you could take me through sort of, because that's another thing. You have him, then you have spring training, and then you have what he did. What was your perspective of his evolution?
Well, you know, we only had him for like maybe 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Obviously, first round pick, talented guy, a lot of tools, and it's just a matter of time probably before he gets there. And then this winter, it was kind of like, hey, this guy's got a chance to make the team. And, you know, so then in my head, you start processing that statement, like, okay, is he ready? You start checking your boxes from last year. Yeah, he can run. He's a good defender. He's got power. Okay, it's going to be a big stretch for him. So the thing I like about him, and I noticed last year, is he's got an easy way about him. He doesn't get too caught up in things. Like, he doesn't carry at-bats to at-bats. He probably does, because it's hard just to shrug him off. I mean, I haven't really met anybody. Probably the closest I've ever seen is, like, Curtis Granderson, just being able to handle those. But he does a pretty good job.
That's pretty cool. That's a pretty key thing, though. Right?
It is so important. Yeah. It's easy to sit here and talk about, hey, you got to let it go. You got to do this. But I couldn't do it as a player. Yeah. You know, most people can't. So to watch him do that, that was pretty exciting. And I got to think that's exciting for the entire player development of the Mets. And, you know, from the scouts that drafted him to the people that just first saw him and said, hey, let's put this guy on our radar, bringing him in. Watching him develop, watching him go from A to Triple A last year, now the big leagues. It's, you know, that's a real success story for the Mets.
Like you said, you had him last year. When you go into spring training, was your inclination like, okay, I'll probably see him in Syracuse? Or did he, as he went along, really just change your view of him, I guess, even in spring training?
Yeah, I think I still thought that there would be a chance we would see him here, just depending on, you know, like, I'm glad. He had a really good camp. I mean, he hit over 400, I think.
Yeah, but, you know, spring training.
Spring training. You know, don't be fooled by a spring training. Yeah. That was the old adage. Everybody looks good there because the pressure's not on.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, it's like his first game. He had two strikeouts, his first two at-bats. And I'm telling you, that guy can put stuff behind him, which is a great trait. But just to, I still thought that he might be with us just because it was so fast. But he, every day he just kept getting hits, making a couple great plays, made a great throw, steal a base. And then it's like, wow, to have that guy on your roster that can play multiple positions in the outfield, this is a pretty valuable guy.
If you, when you, like, you have a great perspective of it about the, and I'm locked into like the turning the page on things. Like, do you talk to other coaches in the front office? Are they seeing that too? Is that part of the equation?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because some guys, like, some guys are just a little tighter wound, and it impacts them too much. Now it affects their defense when they go out to play. Maybe they should have made that play. They weren't in the right place, didn't get a good jump, dwelling on their at-bat. I don't think he does. I think we have another guy like that too, A.J. Ewing, who's a very talented guy. Can run, plays multiple positions, got some pop. So those guys for me are always, I mean, everybody sees the talent. It's not like that's something that like, oh, this guy's talented and I figured that out. Everybody can see it. But those intangibles, that really connects at the major league level.
Another guy who obviously is Nolan McLean, who we probably talked about before, but to do what he did, I know it's the WBC, but still, it's the WBC, right?
It's impressive.
This is a great. It's funny, Dick. Like, I look at the WBC, and at first I was like, oh, he's going to wear guys out, and this, I think guys are preparing for it better. But also, what I saw this time around more than other times, which is guys coming away with a sense of confidence, maybe with a sense of I belong more than everybody else. I don't know if that's a thing.
I think it's a
is
thing.
It? Yeah.
I mean, you know, to be selected for Team USA or any team, right? Like, there's only so many guys on that roster, and you're one of them. That's got to make you feel pretty good getting invited to that, especially he's pitched a month in the major leagues.
Yeah.
But that guy can handle it. That was one of the things when I would talk to Mendy, Carlos Mendoza. He and I talk probably once a week, sometimes more, sometimes 10 days. But he's calling down last year, and he's like, okay, you know, what do you got? I go, hey, McLean, besides the stuff, this guy's got it. Mound presence, confidence, good athlete, moves through situations effortlessly, doesn't get bogged down by previous plays. And, like, that's hard to teach. Like, those are just things that guy has, that makeup. And you can see it, the confidence that he has. He's not.
America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them? Or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at AmericaCures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
A guy that's brash, but you can see when he's out there, man, he's locked and loaded. And I noticed that right away, and I really hadn't had much experience or exposure to him. And that's probably something that got him on some of these teams.
To do that, to get the call on that final game, and he handled it.
It doesn't faze him.
He's
made for those moments. He really is. And his stuff will get better as he learns hitters. You know, when you go from league to league in the minor leagues, you'll see, I don't know what the percent is, you'll see a lot of the same guys, a number of the same guys. But at the major leagues, you're seeing the same guys. You're 80% of the league. So he's going to figure out, have a much better plan as opposed to, all right, here's my stuff. You guys haven't seen me try to hit it, which is difficult.
Yeah.
But he also is a smart guy, setting up guys, and he pays attention to the game. Got a great personality. He's funny, and I think his makeup is perfect for a major league player.
Is the jump? Maybe I ask this. Is the jump bigger than ever?
Way bigger.
Wait, no.
And the reason I say that now, like, I don't want to, Like AAA, I think, is a really great place to, like, it's like finishing school. Mm-hmm. So if you're a hitter, you got a lot of guys. We have guys on our team that have 2-3 years in the big leagues. We have Carl Edwards on the team. He's got a World Series ring. You know, this guy's been a big league pitcher for a long time. As a hitter, you're not getting the 1-0 fastball, the 2-1 fastball. You get off-speed pitches. So I think as a hitter, you learned that that's how you're going to be pitched at the major leagues. The stuff might even be better at the major leagues. It will be, but it's not the same as it was in AA, because this, for me, all the time, hey, all the big arms are in AA, and AAA is kind of a, you know, it's a just a rehash. I don't agree with that. I think you really learn. And then from a pitcher's perspective, you also have guys. We have Christian Arroyo on this team. You have 5 years in the major leagues. I mean, you have to learn how to pitch to guys, because they don't swing as much. They don't chase. They're good breaking ball hitters. And so I think it's a really good finishing school. But with that said, you don't see the big arms like you see at the major leagues, because if guys pitch well in AAA, he's in the big leagues.
Yeah.
I'll give you a good example. Abbott from Cincinnati a couple years ago.
Yeah.
We played them, and all of our guys, and that was probably at least 3 months into our AAA season, all of our guys were like, that's the best guy we faced the whole season.
Really?
Yeah, it was just, he really just stood out.
Yeah, yeah.
And because there's a lot of guys that are close. You'll have a guy that has good velo, but no command. You'll have a guy with good breaking ball, but he's throwing 93. You just don't have that combo of big fastball, good breaking ball, or changeup, or split. And he was very refined, and he had very good stuff. And I thought it was funny, because the players recognize it right away. Those guys just aren't there very long.
Yeah.
They're gone. Then you still have this kind of the middling group of pitchers.
Well, that's why I said the best analytic is hitters' reactions, pitchers' reactions, outs. like that's the best analytic.
Yep.
But just the last thing is, and I know this is game two, but maybe this is the best way to phrase this, instead of just saying, who are you really excited about on this team? But like we talk about spring training, and we see guys like, and I was all in entire spring training. I'm like, oh, that guy's interesting. I'm gonna keep my eye on him. What's a guy that you saw that now is on your team that's like, okay, let's see if he can keep doing what I saw him do in Port St. Lucie?
Yeah, I think there's a couple guys. You know, you always kind of think of younger guys first. Mm-hmm. Although some of the older 6-year free agents are probably going to be the first guys to the major leagues. Mm-hmm. But I think a guy like Ryan Clifford is somebody to keep an eye on. He's got big time power. He can play first and left field. Got some work to do. I think he's aware of that, but he could be an impact player for us. Nick Morabito in center field, you know, a guy can really run. And just having the impact of speed, which historically, well, not historically, but since I've been with the Mets, we haven't had a lot of team speed. Mm-hmm. I think our roster up there this year probably has more than we've had in the past. But to have those impact guys that can come up and steal bags and get in scoring position, play a premium position, it's kind of exciting. So, you know, it's a quick jump for him as well. He had a good year. Mm-hmm. You know, pitching-wise, we got kind of a sleeper. Ryan Lambert's out there. He's got a big arm. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you talked to Jonah today, and Jonah... The funny thing about Jonah, he looks like he's about 15. And you talk about players going to the big leagues, right? So his first start at the big leagues, I watched the game on TV. And actually, my wife and I were watching it at wherever we were. And just like he's sitting on the bench, my wife is like, he just doesn't look like he's a major leaguer. He just has such a young face, and he's so innocent. And but then he gets out there, and he's got good stuff, and he competes, and he's such a polite guy. And that was probably one that I was like, we were all like cheering extra for him.
Yeah.
Just like, come on, kid,
such
you can
nice
do it.
Guy. Yeah,
he
yeah.
is. He's such a good guy.
And also
guy.
Like, and doesn't shy away. I mean, he's asked about the Lincecum thing a million times, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because no one throws like Tim Lincecum until Jonah came along, right?
Yep.
So
yeah, it's all good. And you know, the last thing for me is like, every year is different. You think there's a lot of similarities, but every year is different. You have different players, different personalities, different ask from your front office, all of those things. And that's what makes it great, really. And then for me, the best part is just the games. Once the games start, you know, because there's a lot of work. You know, I don't know if people really know how much time the guys spend behind the scenes before they go out to play a game. Just the drills they do in the cages and on the field and BP and in the weight room and all of the prep that they do. And it's just to go out and play. I enjoy watching the guys succeed out there.
It's awesome. Well, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks.
April means draft month. Commanders rumors, mock drafts, and the big decisions all getting picked apart.
Will the Commanders go get another playmaker on offense or finally fix the defense?
The Caps are pushing for the playoffs, and every game suddenly feels like it matters.
And Nationals baseball is underway, too. Early signs, lineup questions, and who's starting to figure everything out?
We just say what we think every morning.
Follow the Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.